Praise the Lord again. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. But I do want to thank and praise God for those kind words that Pastor Don gave me. You know, like I said last time, we were in a Sunday school and, you know, we were the great kids, you know. We're the great kids, and thank God for also being a part of the Bible quiz team. And we have a few Bible quizzers here. I see Dawson in the back, you know. Praise God. We're actually going to state finals in about 3 weeks. So if you also want to give to that, you know, while you're also giving the missions, you know, don't forget about us. We just need a little bit, you know. You give them 90, you give us 10. You know, we'd really appreciate it. And we're going to Fuquay, so pray for us, you know, in the third week of May. Amen. And we could all stand. I want to give honor to our music team. Thank you so much, Brother Jimmy, for leading us into worship. Why don't you give him a hand? And to all those that sang, praise God. Usher us to the presence of the Lord. To those of you that are watching us, thank you so much for joining us in Jesus' name. You know, we're better because you came to worship with us. Amen. Whether you're here or online. And we do give double honor to our pastor and our bishop in their absence. Amen. We love them. We appreciate them. Why don't you give them a hand? You know, we thank God. Amen. For our leadership. And as you know, again, they are back in Louisiana to celebrate the life of Sister Nugent, Sister Charla's mom. So while we're up, can we just pray for them and that family in Jesus' name, that God comforts them? Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your goodness and mercy, God. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what happens in tragedy or in triumph, God, you are glorified, you are magnified, and you are exalted. God, I pray that you would touch that family, God, and touch their heart, Lord. Wrap them, oh God, with your love, Lord God. For in your love is our safety, oh God. It's our comfort, it's our strength, Jesus. Help them, I pray, Lord God. Bless them, Lord, in this time. And I pray they would see your faith, oh God, and your goodness and your mercy in their lives, God, during this time. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. And as you're standing, we're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Guests, please come back next week to hear Pastor. I promise you, I'm going to do my best. I promise you I am. But, you know, he's the better one, I promise. Amen. So please come and see him next week. Amen. And so we're going to read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Amen. And they read, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Just for a few moments, I want to preach to you from this simple topic, complete vision. Somebody say, complete vision. Amen. If you're going to preach with me, shout in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Nearly everyone has wondered at some time, what in the world is God up to? This text is a great place for us to start to find the answer. The book of Genesis is the first book of the Bible. It's a book of beginnings. Here we find the beginning of time, the earth, mankind, and the nation of Israel. The first 11 chapters of Genesis revolve around four key events: creation, the fall, the flood, and the separation of the nations at the Tower of Babel. The rest of the book revolves around four key people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. So in Genesis 12, which is the focal point of the whole book, here God reveals a snapshot of his plan for the ages. Yeah. We're introduced to a man named Abram, but for time's sake and for this moment, we're going to call him Abraham because he was changed. His name was changed later on. And we're told little about him. We're certainly not given any information that would indicate he was an exceptional person. We're only given facts about his hometown, some information about his family, but there's no hint or clue that he possessed any qualifications to uniquely prepare him for such a crucial role in God's plan for the ages. Amen. In Genesis 12, God revealed his vision to Abraham and used him to initiate his great plan for the world. It's very important to note that after receiving God's vision, Abraham was never the same. The rest of his life was marked by this vision God gave him, and he understood that he was a part of God's divine plan. Understanding your role in God's plan for the future will shape the way you live. So the number seven is God's perfect number, or the number of completion. And vision is simply defined as plan, idea, or challenging picture for the future that's been given by God. So with these things in mind, we're going to carefully consider this text and discover seven insights that will help you understand God's complete vision for you and I. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, pray he doesn't preach too long. Hallelujah. Amen. None of y'all said it, so praise God. All right, we're going to be here for a good minute. Let's just park it. Amen. But the first thing to realize about vision is that vision will always originate with God. True vision always comes from God. It will never originate with man. If it originates with man, it is really nothing more than a grand idea, a scheme, a dream, or wishful thinking. Man can come up with wonderful ideas, but we must never confuse our ideas with God's vision. Because vision comes from God, God will reach out to you. He reached out to Mary with the plan to carry the Son of God. He reached out to Joseph to be the stepfather to the Son of God. Amen. He's the father that stepped up. Praise God. Anybody heard that joke before? Amen. I mean, God didn't have to do any stepping. Amen. Because, you know, he's... Come on, somebody. Praise God. All right. He reached out to Moses to lead God's people from slavery. And he reached out to Esther to save her people from the evil Haman. It's not if the vision comes, it's when the vision comes. And when it comes, it will not tarry.
Come on.
Amen. So the first thing we need to realize is that vision will always originate with God.
Yes.
Number two, vision will always be revealed to an individual. The text reveals that God gave this vision to Abraham. It is important to note something this text does not say. It does not say God appeared and gave the vision for Abraham to his wife Sarah. It doesn't say that God appeared and gave the vision for Abraham to his father Terah. It doesn't say that it came to one of his close friends. It says that God said to Abram. God does not work in the way that your vision for your life will be revealed to somebody else. There is individuality in your call. It is interesting to note in this instance that God gave his vision to an unlikely person. At this point in Abraham's life, there appears to be nothing exceptional about him. No leadership qualities are evidenced, no pedigree, no legacy, no special skills. This is why we should be careful about disparaging those that God chooses to use in spiritual leadership. God may choose to use some unlikely persons to do his extraordinary work. Amen? Amen. The prophet Samuel was initially not impressed with David. But note what God told Samuel. Excuse me, the prophet Samuel wasn't initially impressed with David, amen. And God tells Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God sees what man cannot see. This is why we must trust God to reveal his vision to whomever he pleases. He will always reveal his vision a spiritual leader, through whom he can work to accomplish his vision. And don't doubt yourself either. God sees something in you that you don't see. Amen. So trust him, and in time, you will see it. Amen. So the second thing we need to learn about vision is that it will always be revealed to an individual. The third thing is that vision will always involve change. God told Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Whenever God reveals his vision, he will require something to change. The thought of change is nearly always uncomfortable.
That's right.
Whether we like it or not, change is inevitable. The only constant in our life is change. God's vision will involve change, but we must never let our fear of change hinder us from seeking to discover and implement God's vision for our ministry and our lives. Comfort brings stability. If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. The comfort zone is nothing else but a graveyard for your dreams and ideas. So it is time for us to understand that obedience is more important than my stability. God asked Abraham to make some significant changes. He had to relocate his family and leave his relatives behind. But as he continued his walk with God and held on to the vision that God gave him, in Genesis 17, God changes his name. Yeah. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew culture, names are synonymous for your future, your character, your identity. So God changes Abram's name from Abram, which meant exalted father, to Abraham, father of many nations. He changed his name to the vision and the promise and the purpose that he gave him. Hallelujah. And for the same for his wife, Sarai. Sarai was changed to Sarah. So she wasn't just a princess, but she was the princess of God. She was given nobility. She was given royalty, and she was given access. Praise God. And basically, this means that God put his name on them. The Yah at the end of Sarah is Yahweh. And the Abba was referring to Abba, the Father, who is God. Amen. On Abraham. And so this happened because they partnered with God's vision for their life through this covenantal act called circumcision. Praise God. I'm glad that we don't have to be circumcised physically. That's all right. Amen. It's okay. That's only for the Bible nerds and those that know what that is. Praise God. But covenant means partnership. It means alliance. It means commitment made between two parties. And God tells them, if you partner with me, I'll partner with you. Your enemies will be my enemies. And as far as I know, God is the undisputed champion who has never lost a battle and never will. Come on, somebody. Amen. The Bible, it tells you that he says, your friends will be my friends. Amen. And you won't just have friends in high places, but you'll have the friend in the highest place. Hallelujah. That sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And he said that what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. Amen. Hallelujah. And that means that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory that are found in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that the earth is his. What's his is mine. The earth is the Lord's. Come on. And the fullness thereof. And all that dwell therein. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm living in Eden, somebody. I'm living in Eden. Come on, come on. Everything I need is supplied. Praise God. Amen. Simply, if you take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. Amen. Amen. And one thing I want to note as well is that it says it's according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 that it's baptism in Jesus' name is our covenantal circumcision that we do today. This is how we partner with God today. Amen. The Bible says that Noah partnered with God's vision through building an ark. Amen. Going through the flood. And then the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:21, and this is the New Living Translation, because you know I'm kind of halfway saved. Y'all pray for me, all right? It says that this story is a picture of baptism, which now saves us. It's not the removing of dirt from my body, but it's a response to God that says, I'm partnering with your vision, Jesus. I see what you want to do through me, and I say yes. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you believe it, put your hands together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is effective. It is effective only because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Amen. And through Noah and his three sons, God blessed and replenished the earth. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, partner with God's vision today. Amen. Amen. Vision will always involve change. That's number three. So number two, excuse me, number four. Lord have mercy. Pray for me, y'all. Come on, Jesus. Number four, vision will always require faith. God issued this challenge to Abraham's faith to leave everything he knew. Get out of your country. Go. And God asked him to leave his hometown and family, and he didn't even know where he was going. God was requiring Abraham to trust him. God will always put us in a position where we have to trust him. Our ability to trust God is the key to our usefulness. Those who fail to trust him forfeit the right to his blessings and being used in his work. The Bible emphatically states, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Come on, Bible quizzers. Come on, somebody. If I had all y'all on my team, we'd win first place. Praise God. Amen. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. That's Hebrews 11:6. Faith is foundational to discovering and implementing God's vision. Our visions, not given by God, are only shattered dreams, wishful thinking. Because vision requires knowledge of the future, something that you and I do not possess. But we can trust God, who knows what we need before we ask. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Amen. And he sees not just the end from the beginning, but he declares the end from the beginning. Amen. Isaiah 46 and 10, which is why he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Amen. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, amen, a hope and a future and an expected end. Because he knows the end, I know that whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm going to go through, I'm coming out on the other side because I have a future through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Abraham demonstrated his faith by obeying God. Amen. And God was able to bless and use Abraham because he was a man of faith. God's vision will always require faith. Amen. Number five, vision will always focus on people. It's a people game, as Pastor Don always says. You know, it's all about people. Amen. I was given the best advice starting youth ministry by Brother Ernest. You know, he's like a super ninja, man. Like, he just comes up to you, and then he just cuts you all up with the word of God. You're like, man, I just said praise the Lord. I just said hi. My goodness, you know. You know. But he told me, he said, ministry is 90% people. 90% people, 10% ministry. You know, I think he made it a little, you know, 99% people and 1% ministry, you know? Like getting up in here, getting up speaking or talking to people, having Bible studies is just one part of the many things that we have to do because it all revolves around people. Amen. Here we see two aspects of God's vision that both involve people. The first is that God's vision is personal. God wants to include you. God wants to include you. God told Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And a second aspect is of vision focusing on people is that it will always be corporate. Amen. God's vision for a group, a ministry, a church will be imparted to an individual. This individual will be the person who is primarily responsible for communicating and leading the implementation of this vision. Okay? He revealed his will to Abraham, even though it applied to the future of the nation of Israel. So what does that mean? Church, if our focus is only on money, or our programs, or buildings, or events. Family, if our focus is solely on how athletic or intellectual our children can become, and not on their souls. Young people, if our focus is only on how many boyfriends or girlfriends we can possess, or how much money we can make, or the success that we can have without God. Friends, if our focus is only on how much we own or can own, spend, and how many toys that we can collect in the end of it all, then we do not possess God's perspective. We do not have God's vision. God's focus is always on people. Only what you do for Christ will last. Amen. Amen. Number six is that vision will always be big in scope. Amen. It'll always be bigger than you. It'll always be bigger than life. Amen. Note God's last promise to Abraham in this text. It says, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." This hints at God's purpose for the world. Yes, sir. The vision that God communicated to Abraham had a worldwide scope. In other words, his vision was big. God's vision is always big. The Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. And here's the key. It will all be according to the power that works where? The Bible reveals, though, why we underestimate God. God told the prophet, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," Isaiah 55 and 8, "nor are my ways your ways." We don't naturally see things from God's viewpoint. We do not think the way he does. One of my favorite things about that is there's an old song I've heard that says that, what is the mountain is just a hill from heaven's point of view. Yeah. You know, we forget that. There's another song that says, I'm forgetting it now, heaven on earth, you know, and he tells them, come see where I see, you know, because where I see, all things are made new. You know, I know the past that you went, but if you come look at it from my perspective, it's all made new. I've thrown it into a sea of forgetfulness. When you come up to him bringing up your past, he's like, what are you talking about? You know? Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible tells us that the way Abraham would be a blessing to the world is that one day a descendant would come from him and it would be the Messiah. Paul revealed this when he wrote, and the scripture, Galatians 3, 8 through 9, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I just want to pause and say, people always ask, you know, how do you read the Bible? How do you read the Bible? Here's the number one thing. It's all about Jesus. I promise, it's all about Jesus. You see here, Genesis 12, we literally just read the gospel because he said, in you will all the nations be blessed. Because who is it referring to?
Jesus.
I'm about to say, come on, somebody. That's the greatest name we know, praise God. You know, it's Jesus. Everything I read will always point back and revolve around Jesus. So this means that all who trust in Jesus, the scripture, will, and as their Savior, will become part of God's chosen people. Amen. So number seven, God's vision will always be bigger than you. Big in scope, larger than life. Number seven, vision will always result in a blessing. Abraham was personally blessed because he believed and obeyed God's vision. The Lord simply said, I will bless you. He told Abraham that his descendants would become a great nation. He would become famous and a blessing to others. There is great blessing to those who will believe and embrace God's vision. This also means that great blessings are forfeited when we fail to believe and embrace God's vision. God's vision not only resulted in bringing specific blessings to Abraham, but it resulted in untold millions of others being blessed as well. God promised him, like we said, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. When God accomplishes his vision, people will be blessed. Amen. If the musicians could come, please. Praise God. Oh, I heard somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you I'm going to do my best, you know. Hallelujah. So God's vision brought great blessing to Abraham and the world through Jesus. Jesus is a descendant of Abraham. Right. It is important to note that though Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, he is also the prophesied Son of God. He is God manifest in the flesh. Do I have any apostolics in the house tonight? Praise God. This morning, excuse me. I'm sorry. It's a little dark in here, you know. Y'all pray for me, amen. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus meant when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see me in my day, saw it, and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? But they didn't remember that he was God, because he said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Praise God. And moreover, John calls Jesus the Word of God. You know, and that word, it's written in Greek, so it means logos. It means idea, plan. Somebody say vision. Come on, somebody. Amen. You're getting it now. So if we look at John 1 that way, then we can read it. In the beginning was the vision. And the vision was with God. And the vision was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the vision. And without the vision was not anything made that was made. In the vision, in him, is life. Hallelujah. Amen. And the life, amen, of that vision was the light of men. And that light, that vision shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness cannot defeat it. God's vision can never be defeated. Hallelujah. Whatever God has called you to do and called you to be, it can't be defeated. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the vision was made flesh. Come on, somebody. And dwelt among us. And we beheld the vision's glory. Amen. As the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Amen. But as many as have received the vision, to those he gave power to become visions, to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. And to all that believe on him and call on his name. I wasn't born of the flesh. I wasn't born of blood, but I was born of God. The vision does not originate with man. What I did in the past, does it? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter the things I've gone through, what my family, the generational curses, the vision does not originate from there. It originates from God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, unto you first, Acts 3:26, God, having raised up his son, raised up the vision, sent him to bless you, amen, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? For the son, the vision, did not come to condemn the world, but that through him, through the vision, the world might be saved. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God with me, somebody. Thank God for the vision. Hallelujah. 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 Through that vision, I'm able to be saved. Through that vision, I'm able to be the vision. I've got a new vision. I'm not what my daddy was. I'm not what my mama was. I'm not what my grandmama was. I am the vision of God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. As the begotten Son of God, Jesus was the vision of God to bless us and to give us vision for a better future and to make us sons or visions of God simply through faith. This happened because thousands of years before, Abraham saw the vision through faith. And what he did was he partnered with God through covenant salvation, that he and his world may be blessed. God's vision cost Abraham much, but after receiving God's vision, Abraham was never the same. The rest of his life was marked simply by the vision that God gave and had given through him. Like Abraham, each of us can become either a catalyst, you can be the start of something new, the start of the vision that God gave you, or you can be the obstacle to the implementation that God wants to do through you and through your family. Amen. Hallelujah. And like Jesus, the complete vision of God, we have been sent into our world to declare and proclaim and make manifest God's vision for the world. His will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you have received the vision or you want to partner with this vision, I challenge you to move in faith. Step out of your seat, come to the front, or move out in the aisles. The prayer team will come and pray for you. Somebody beside you looks like they go to church, may lay a hand on you or so. Don't be scared. We're not here to scare you away, you know. But I want you to partner with God's vision. You don't have to stay the same. Your family does not have to stay the same. My children don't have to go through what I went through. There is a vision that God has called, and I want you to partner with that. Amen. As you lift your hands, open your heart, like we said, baptism is a part of us. It's another way. It is another step that we say yes to the vision of God. If you come down and you lift your hands, God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of the vision. It's the life, the power of the vision of God. And you too will be given power, transforming power to carry forth the vision that God has called you to do. Amen. If you see somebody up here, why don't you come up to the front, come up behind them. Amen. Why don't you stand with them, partner with them. Let's pray in Jesus' name as they begin to sing. Oh God, help us in the name of Jesus to implement the vision that you've called us, oh God, that you've called us to, Lord. It's an individual vision. It may not look like my sisters. It may not look like my brothers, but Lord, you've called me. You've chosen me, Jesus. Help me, oh God. Strengthen our faith, God. Where there is doubt, Lord, strengthen our faith, Jesus. Like the man that prayed, Lord, I believe you, but help my unbelief. God, we believe you, that you can do great things in us and through us, Lord Jesus. But strengthen our faith to believe that you have chosen us and you've called us for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Worship with us. Pray with one another in Jesus' name as they begin to sing.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come worship with us.